Jerry Bader Show 936. I've got just a few more things to say about the results of yesterday's elections around the country and how they are being presented in terms of what it means for the Tea Party. If you have any thoughts, get in right now. 406-1360-888-455-1360. I don't believe this means the death of the Tea Party. I think caller just before the news made a very good point. The brand of the Tea Party has been sufficiently trashed by the mainstream media that people don't like identifying with the name. I think the smaller government and other message that comes with the Tea Party movement still resonates with a lot of right-of-center voters. And I do think it has pulled the Republican Party to the right. I want to just read this from the Wall Street Journal. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, a pillar of the party establishment who had come under fire from the right, triumphed easily over his primary challenger in Kentucky. Candidates backed by party officials and business groups advanced in Georgia, Idaho, and elsewhere. Taken together, the results could help GOP leaders reassert their dominance over conservative insurgents who've been roiling the party for the past 5 years. But, and I think this is a big but that doesn't point to any shift to the political center among Republicans on Capitol Hill or a return to a pre-Tea Party era when compromise with Democrats wasn't viewed with deep suspicion. I think that's exactly right. If they think that this is an endorsement of the go-along to get-along that got them in trouble in the first place, they're wrong. And I think the future of the Tea Party will be measured by what Republicans do if and when they get more power. If they get the Senate in November, if they get the White House in 2016 and still have both houses of Congress, that's going to be the message here. The message is going to be, what message do Republicans take from this? I do think it's as simple as pragmatism. That around the country, primary Republican voters thought, you know what, we really need to win. Now, as for the caller's point before the news that the Republican Party painted Tommy Thompson that way, point taken. Mitch McConnell is going to be in for the fight of his life. There is no guarantee Mitch McConnell is going to win. That's my point, though. Electability is not synonymous with rhino. An establishment Republican is not synonymous with electable. Tommy Thompson was a mistake. It was a mistake built on loyalty. It was a mistake built on, well, you know, I was cutting my teeth in the Republican Party where Tommy was winning election after election after election, and I have to support him. I said this at the time, and I'll say it again. I was disappointed with Paul Ryan and Scott Walker with their backdoor support. Everybody felt that they had to kiss Tommy's ring. Tommy's time had come and gone. And that was a crowded field. He wasn't an awful candidate. But what you really had is there was an old guard there who wanted to take another ride on a dead political career. There were a lot of things going on there. Dale in the Shawano area. Dale, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Jerry.
Morning.
Talking about the conservative and the old guys that are in office right now, you know, establishment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you get the establishment showing guys like John McCain at us. Now possibly Jeb Bush. You know, and I think when you see that kind of a standard coming back at us, another John McCain or a Jeb Bush or stuff like that, rather than somebody that's very conservative that we want into office, but we can't vote on because they're already dropped out. You know, they get voted out in the primaries.
Well, and you make a good point, Dale, because I will tell you right now, here is the message that the Republican Party is going to take from yesterday. This means Jeb. You're absolutely right. And I am not so sure of that. I am not convinced that they should be so confident that, yes, a moderate like Jeb Bush is now going to have smooth sailing to the Republican nomination in 2016 because of yesterday. I think it would be a mistake to believe that. Thanks a lot for the call. I don't accept that, and this is the point I'm trying to make here. What happened yesterday was not a vote for the moderate policies of the establishment Republican Party. I know that the Republican Party is reading it that way. That's not what happened. I believe what yesterday was about is a moderate Republican Party is better than the Democratic Party. A lot of Tea Party supporters have come not to believe that. Mitch McConnell isn't Nancy Pelosi, and it's just idiotic to suggest that he is. And this is where I do think that certain national talk show hosts are hurting the cause by demonizing Republican leadership as being no different from far left Democrats. That's a mistake. And it's not serving anyone. But no, that this is my point exactly, Dale. That conservative base out there still wants to the right of center. Now, let me throw this in. Gerald Seib, writing in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, why Republicans should take Rick Santorum seriously. Why Republicans should take Rick Santorum seriously. I want to share that with you in just a couple of minutes here. Rick on a cell. Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Jerry. Hey, I'm tuning in late here. I want to throw out a question to you. Was yesterday all about who had the most money?
Look at
the ones that won. They had the Bacola.
Yeah, but you know what? That was true in 2012 when a lot of those guys got knocked off, too. I mean, you know, everyone keeps saying, oh, this was about the power of the incumbency and all of that. Now, Rick, to a degree, it does show the power of the dollar and the power of the incumbency. But that didn't work in 2010 and 2012 when the Tea Party was red hot. So I think there are other things going on. I think, Rick, what it showed is that's certainly a factor. No doubt. Thanks a lot for the call. No doubt about it. But there's also a pragmatism going on. John in Menasha. John, go ahead.
Hey, Jerry. You're saying that, you know, the establishment isn't as bad as the Democrats. Well, four of Mitch McConnell's top 10 donors are health insurance companies that are benefiting from Obamacare. Now, who do you think Mitch McConnell is beholden to? The American people or those four huge insurance companies?
Tell me how he and Nancy Pelosi are the same.
They're not the same.
Then we have nothing to debate.
Then
we have nothing to debate. I'm not saying, this is exactly my point. Because he's not Nancy Pelosi also doesn't make him perfect. But he's still not Nancy Pelosi. And his general belief system still is not Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid. So before you get to your butt. So you just agreed they're not the same. So what do we have to debate?
Well, the debate is whether or not you're moving the needle on your 36-inch scale in the other direction. I can tell you right now, if the way this establishment is working and the way that these elections went down, that any milquetoast primary happens and ends up with a milquetoast candidate for 2016, the Republicans lose because the Tea Party will not vote for them. There's going to be other cases where that's going to happen here, too, because I will not vote for one. No more. I'm done.
But here's the thing, John. Others who believe what you believe have decided to be more pragmatic. But I would agree with you. Thanks a lot for the call. I would agree that Republicans read too much into that pragmatism, and I mean the establishment party, at their peril. If they think this means, and I'm glad you brought up Peggy Noonan's 36, the yardstick. Conservatives still want that yardstick moved back toward conservatism. And if they're misreading this, it will re-energize the Tea Party and perhaps even under a new name. I don't know. One other question on this before I get to Gerald Seib's piece. One other question on this. Does this mean that Tom Petri made a mistake by not running in a primary? Could he have defeated Glenn Grothman, Joe Liepbaum, Dewey Strable, and whoever the other candidate is now, if they actually file? I don't know. I don't know. But it is an interesting question. All right, why Republicans, Matt, we're done with the calls on this. I'm going to finish up with this and we're going to move on to other things. Why Republicans should take Rick Santorum seriously? Gerald Seib, yesterday's Wall Street Journal. Republicans already obsessing that the 2016 presidential sweepstakes have paid little attention so far to Rick Santorum. That's a mistake. A mistake not because Mr. Santorum, former Pennsylvania senator and unsuccessful 2012 presidential candidate, he was the candidate I endorsed, is likely to win his party's nomination. He's a long shot if he runs again. It's a mistake because Mr. Santorum has written a new book, Blue Collar Conservatives, that shows he grasps two important realities that seem to escape many others. The first is that, outmoded stereotypes notwithstanding, blue-collar Americans, particularly working-class whites in the South and Midwest today, comprise a core element of the Republican Party. The second reality is that because of the alienation these people feel from both the political and economic systems, the table is set for a new period of populism. That explains why longtime private equity exec Mitt Romney, though an accomplished and experienced figure, was not the ideal standard bearer for the party in 2012, Mr. Santorum argues. More important, he says, these realities suggest Republicans need to rethink their policy focus going forward. We Republicans have neglected to focus our policies and our rhetoric on the plight of lower-income Americans, he writes. Later, he adds, our focus on tax cuts for individuals not only leaves us open to the tax breaks for the rich sloganeering of the left, but seems irrelevant to nearly half the population who don't pay federal income taxes today. Democrats, Mr. Santorum argues, have alienated many working-class Americans with their focus on race-based politics and have harmed their economic hopes by failing to recognize the extent to which the breakdown of the family structure has undermined economic prospects of blue-collar Americans. But he also argues that Republicans haven't taken advantage of the opening by offering policies that speak more directly to those blue-collar Americans in their midst. He wants tax cuts, but directed toward middle-class families and parents with young children in particular. He calls for more spending on infrastructure. He argues as vehemently as any Republican for reduced regulation, but also questions the effect of free trade agreements on manufacturing workers. And he sounds like a genuine populist when discussing the takeaway from the rescue of banks from after the 2007 recession. When the average American sees the result of systemic corruption is billions of dollars in Wall Street bailouts of the banks that caused the financial meltdown and the resulting Great Recession, with only a handful of prosecutions, the message is delivered. He acknowledges income inequality, but traces it in part to the effects of a technological revolution that need to be addressed. The new economy bestows a larger share of its rewards on the educated than the industrial economy did. Implicitly, Mr. Santorum's analysis recognizes one of the underappreciated trends in current American politics, the extent to which the two parties have undergone an identity switch. Increasingly, college-educated and upper-income Americans, once assumed to be a comfortable fit as Republicans, have become core elements of the Democratic Party. Meanwhile, blue-collar whites, once the core of the Democrats, have increasingly become Republicans. That can be seen in a look at Wall Street Journal NBC News polling this year. In all polling conducted this year, half of those who identify themselves as Republicans had family incomes below $75,000 a year. And in the most recent survey last month, white working-class voters were more likely to identify themselves as Republicans than Democrats by a 37 to 35% margin. Mr. Santorum is arguing for a GOP agenda that better reflects this rank and file. But the broader underlying problem for both parties lies in the indications that a populist uprising could be brewing among these folks. In a recent poll, Americans were asked whether they agreed with this statement. The economic and political systems in this country are stacked against people like me. Among Republicans, 54% agreed. Democrats, 58% of independents, 55% of Democrats. So pretty much everyone, regardless of ideological stripe right now, believes it's stacked against them. Self-identified conservatives were just as likely to agree as were moderates and almost as likely as liberals. On a related question, Republicans were noticeably less inclined than others to agree that the widening income gap is a sign that America is no longer a country where everyone can get ahead regardless of background. But with a noticeable exception, a majority of those blue-collar workers Mr. Santorum targets agreed it is now harder for everyone to get ahead. Similarly, among the white working class, 64% agreed. One of the things Santorum said before he wrote the book was, it was a mistake to have small business people up at the 2012 convention. I disagreed at the time, I agree now. There are people who are willing to make their own way, and Republicans need to appeal to them, not just the people who would hire them. It's 9:52.